ABC Radio Australia.
Firstly, we start in Fiji, where there's a call for women to be given a significant increase in paid menstrual leave, up from 3 days to 12 per year. Nalini Singh from the Fiji Women's Rights Movement says women's menstrual leave should also not be taken up by sick leave. The movement is sparking national discussion about gender equality in workplaces. So, who better to discuss this issue than Nalini Singh herself? With that, I say Yandara Nalini, and welcome to Pacific Beat.
Yandara Vinaka Agi, and thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Let's get straight into it. I mean, what is the driving force behind the need to increase menstrual leave? And can I ask Nalini, is this something that's sort of been in the planning for a while now?
Yes, well, you know, in the work that the Fiji Women's Rights Movement has been doing for decades now, we have been at the forefront, you know, in terms of advocating for better laws for women, removing discrimination and sexist elements in the laws. So we have been part of our employment reforms for a very long time, from you know, as early as the early 2000s, where we advocated for the inclusion of you know, sexual harassment clauses in our laws. And this move to include menstruation leave as a separate leave for women comes from the conversations we've been having with women, young women in the workforce, both formal and informal. And the fact that across the Pacific and in Fiji, the subject discussion around menstruation, menopause, is almost nil because it's considered such a taboo topic. So we have been working to remove that stigma and discrimination around the topic. And with those conversations, we're finding out that there are so many women and young women who are suffering in silence from the pain and you know, the other issues that they go through physically when they are on their periods. So this moves come this call comes from those conversations and listening to those women that, you know, need to have some rest and respite when they are you know, experiencing their periods and their menopausal stage in life, because there are so many who at the later stage in menopause, they quit their jobs because, you know, it's almost unbearable. Now, if we translate this to girls, you know, menstrual hygiene is also an issue for that, for them as well in schools. Most schools don't have adequate wash facilities or menstrual hygiene management facilities. And many girls also, you know, miss schools too. So this issue we are bringing up right now, because this is the right time. The Fijian government has embarked on a law reform for our employment law. And we think that, you know, it's great that they have recognized menstruation as a condition that needs to be looked at and have put in provisions. But we are saying that instead of 3 days in the sick leave, there should be more, because for the women that need this particular leave, 3 days is not enough, and it's not a sickness. It's a condition that they, you know, go through without choice every month. So put in a provision of 12 months, and then let's see for those that need it, and they will be grateful for having this particular leave accounted for in our legislation.
Mm. And as you said, it's gone from 3, and now you're proposing 12 days per year. Can I ask, though, then, Nalini, why you believe menstrual leave should be recognised as a workplace right rather than just treated as a standard sick leave?
Yes, because menstruation affects half the population of the country. It affects only women or only females. And there are many ways, different ways in which women experience it. And for the longest time, no one has spoken up about it. It's not an issue that's been discussed. It's not recognized as a public health issue, which is also what we are saying, that rather than just looking at it as a reproductive health issue, it needs to be seen as a public health issue, because, you know, There are elements that, you know, of what we experience that have to be addressed in a public way. And it's high time that governments, even developing governments like ours, need to start looking at, well, how do we cater for the needs for half the population of the country? And also look at ways in which we can build confidence with women who need to or want to come into the workforce. But, you know, this could be one of the reasons that is holding them back, because we are still significantly behind in terms of reaching the gender balance when we are looking at women in the workforce. So, you know, having government show targeted policy responses to what women need is going to be beneficial immediately, in medium term, and in, of course, in the long term. And this cannot be seen as discrimination because, you know, when we look at the international convention that Fiji has signed on to, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, it clearly says that we can't be using menstruation, maternity or pregnancies as grounds for not hiring women. So we have to hire women because they are part of our economic society and they are great contributors, both paid and unpaid. But often, you know, the issues they would like to raise is never considered in the mainstream. So there are many different ways of looking at this discussion. One is that we are very glad that this is a conversation out in the open and people are expressing their views, because that's what's needed on this issue. We need to express our views. There are many, many women and men who have come up and said that this is great, that at least we are having this conversation. The next step will be to work out ways of how we can implement this without outrightly dismissing it all as an issue that, you know, we cannot implement.
Mm. Well, Nalini, what practical steps should employers take now then, knowing that, you know, there's this sort of policy debate continuing at the moment?
Yes, I mean, this discussion is not a simple one, I agree. You know, it's a very technical one. And all parties to this discussion, well, perhaps we all need to come to the table and discuss this and work out some resolution. Perhaps we need a tiered approach. Perhaps, you know, one of the largest employers, which is the Fiji government with the civil service, maybe we need to see a trial with them to see how civil service would work with this, because, you know, it's one of the largest employers of women in any case. Maybe we need to be looking at subsidies or tax incentives for micro and small medium enterprises so that, you know, they would be able to meet the labor compliance costs. We need a lot of training, a lot of technical support and training for all types of businesses, not just small, you know, to understand the obligations that come with it. And maybe also a tiered penalty structure as well, depending on the size of the business. And, you know, nothing is going to be possible until we have strong partnerships to strengthen, you know, enterprise human resource systems and all the other policy documents and guidelines, etc. And finally, I think we need to see if women-led businesses could be given some targeted grants so that, you know, they could absorb some of the transitional costs in the very beginning. So there are many different ways of seeing how we can implement this. So I would suggest that, you know, more discussion is needed, definitely, without outrightly throwing this, you know, issue out, saying that, no, it's too expensive for all for businesses. It's bad for the economy. We are a developing country, and, you know, we can't implement this. You know, we have to look at all the different examples we have in the world and see how did they do it. You know, and what were the obstacles in the beginning and how did they get around to it? Because we cannot use the fact that we are a developing country as an excuse. And we cannot say that, oh, there are so many other issues as well, let's fix those first and not this, because this is an opportunity we have right now. And the discussion is now on the table. So let's do this. And let's not perhaps rush into assumptions that, you know, there's going to be widespread abuse of this. Every entitlement that an employer gives, there's potential for that to be abused. And in fact, you know, there has been abuse of some previous leave entitlements, but that does not mean that a majority of those that use this in good faith and apply that in the ways that these entitlements are meant for, you know, they're grateful for it. We have a stronger workforce at the moment. We are taking this issue as that is not going to work for us. I mean, how do we know that? You know, have we spoken to all the women in our workforces to realize that's, you know, there are many who could be doing much better, you know, if employers, through their duty of care, also, you know, grant these leaves for women, those women who really need it.
Absolutely. Well, Nalini, I just want to say thank you very much for coming on the show this morning just to share a little bit of an insight. We will definitely keep in touch with you as to seeing how this progresses on. But thank you again, Vinaka, for your time, Nalini.
Thank you so much, Angie.
And that is Nalini Singh, Executive Director for the Fiji Women's Rights Movement here on Pacific Beat.